I have told you in the past of the preacher who worked with a local Church of Christ who preached all the time on baptism. Just every time he got up to preach, it was about baptism. And brethren got kind of tired of it, actually, and so they went to him and they assigned him a topic. They said, "We want you to preach on Genesis 1:1. And so that Sunday he got up and he quoted from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Earth is three quarters water, and that brings me to my subject this morning of baptism. We preachers can develop some pet peeves. I mean, we can focus on some things that sometimes just don't deserve the amount of attention that we give to them. And that's true, I think, for all kinds of different preachers. Not just preachers in churches of Christ, but for preachers throughout the religious world. And I believe that I have seen, and this is just, you can take it as a for whatever it's worth. I think I've seen in preaching that I've heard many do in various denominations. I think I've heard some kind of pet peeve sermons, some focus on subjects that probably don't deserve the amount of attention that that they get. They kind of ride a hobby. Sometimes we talk about it being like a hobby horse that preachers can do. And become involved in a wide array of speculations. These focus a great amount of the time on subjects related to what is frequently referred to as the end times. What's going to happen to lead up to the end and the second coming of Christ? And there are just a lot of speculations that are associated with with that subject. One of the topics that is pretty popular is focuses on an individual who is generally identified as the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? Now, there's no question but what the Bible speaks about Antichrist, as we'll be noting. But identification of who the Antichrist is has posed a real challenge in circles, particularly of the circles of those that spend a lot of time on this subject. A number of years ago, the late Jerry Falwell made the comment that the Antichrist is alive today, he said. The Antichrist is alive and among us today, and he's Jewish. Well, the Antichrist is not a particularly popular subject. Or individual, and so he, Falwell got a lot of criticism. As a matter of fact, he eventually was forced to apologize for having identified the Antichrist as someone who was Jewish. Most adherents to the doctrine of the Antichrist actually believe that the Antichrist will be a European. I find it interesting that I never have heard of any apologies being issued to Europeans for that association. But nonetheless, identifying the Antichrist has a long history in religious circles. And it has a long history of guessing, to be quite honest with you. 16th century Protestants involved in the Protestant Reformation identified the Antichrist as the Pope. And the Pope died, a new Pope was selected, he's the Antichrist. And it just went right on. It was associated with that office in their minds. In late 18th century, early 19th century, English Protestants frequently identified Napoleon Bonaparte as the Antichrist because he was such a key political figure, gained such power and influence in the world for a period of time. In World War I, it was the German Kaiser, followed in World War II by Adolf Hitler, followed by Joseph Stalin in the mid 20th century, and more recently, the association with various Middle Eastern leaders. Saddam Hussein was identified as the Antichrist for a period of time. One of the things I think you see in these individuals that are sometimes associated with this doctrine is the political power that certain individuals gain, and they rise to notoriety, and then they become identified as this Antichrist. Well, I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning in our study about who is the Antichrist. Can we identify the one that the Bible speaks of as the Antichrist? The popular view is that the Antichrist is one specific individual who, as I said, rises to a position of extreme political power. And then from that position begins to persecute people who are seeking to live for the Lord. And the notion is that this individual in his persecutions will become so great, so powerful, and the persecutions of Christians will become so severe that they will be on the verge of annihilation. And then in that end time scheme, Christ comes back again at Armageddon and does battle with the Antichrist and defeats his forces and so forth. Well, I just want to give you briefly three passages of Scripture. And we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about these Scriptures, but these are three Bible passages that maybe your neighbors would associate with the subject of the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 7, we find where the prophet Daniel lives about 700 years before the time of Christ, is speaking here or writing here about world events and the development of four great world kingdoms. Daniel chapter 7 and verses 3 through 8, we see where he has something somewhat to say about these kingdoms. He sees these images of four different beasts, and each beast represents a kingdom. And the first one is identified in Scriptures as being Babylon. The second one, following that, the Persian Empire that rose, then the Greek Empire after that, and the fourth kingdom then being the Roman Empire. Now, as I say, we're not going to spend a lot of time looking at these passages specifically. But clearly, what Daniel saw and prophesied about were political powers, and he described the interaction of those political powers with God's people. And sometimes that interaction it did involve persecutions, particularly when you begin to look at what history tells us about the Roman Empire and its involvement with Christians after the establishment of the church. Clearly there was a role of persecution there. But a lot of people will look at this passage and they'll say, well, see, what this is describing is the eventual appearance of the Antichrist. A second passage that you might want to take note of is in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. And there, in a highly symbolic passage of Scripture, the Apostle John records a vision that he sees of this great, imposing, destructive beast. And he describes it as a beast with 10 horns, and it has 7 heads. It's this very, intimidating figure. And there, again, we see a passage of Scripture where there certainly is involved the notion of persecuting of Christians and the rise of a political power, which is what John is describing there in Revelation. It's Rome. And the rise of a political power and its persecution of God's people. The third passage that I would direct your attention to, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 3 through 12, where the Apostle Paul writes about an individual he identifies there as the lawless one. And he describes how this lawless one arises to a position of power and prominence, and uses that power and prominence in persecution of people who are following Christ. Now, one thing that I think is glaringly obvious in all three of these passages is that not one instance is there ever a reference to Antichrist. Now, please, let me say this for clarity. There's no question, but in all three of these passages, we have a discussion of political power rising and persecution of Christians. There's no question that that's the background of those passages. But it seems to me that it's glaringly obvious by its absence that the Antichrist is never mentioned in these three passages of Scripture. So, where does that put us? Is this just something? We're not going to know. Are we going to have to rely upon the speculative guesses of people throughout history? I mean, there, as I said a few moments ago, there's a long history of guessing at who the Antichrist is. I mean, how many times do we have to guess? Well, there is one biblical writer who speaks about the Antichrist. It's the Apostle John. And what I'd like to do in just a few moments here that we have remaining is I'd like for you to look with me at all of the references in the New Testament to the Antichrist. And let's see what we can glean from the Scriptures. 1 John, if you want to write these down, 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 22. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3. And 2 John verse 7. Those are the only references in the New Testament to the Antichrist. And so what I'm going to suggest to you is, in your search to find out some answers about this, that's the only place you can go. That's the only source of information. And I want you to take note with me, for instance, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. John says, "Children, it's the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour." And then drop down to verse 22. He says, "Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son." And then if you drop down to chapter 4 and verse 3, "Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world." And then finally in 2 John and verse 7, he says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh." This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Okay, John, what are you telling us about this Antichrist, as you have identified him? Well, first of all, it seems apparent from all of these verses that the simple understanding of the term Antichrist is just that it's somebody who's against Christ. That's what we ought to think of. That's what John wants in his readers' minds when he writes these verses in these two different letters. He wants them to think in terms of individuals that are opposed to Christ. It's not all that difficult, is it? But then I want you to notice what he, just a few observations about what he says regarding this one who is opposed to Christ. The first thing that I want you to, I would point out to you from 1 John 2 and verse 18 is that the Antichrist was a present day reality. You know, one of the things about the speculations that are made about who the Antichrist is and the speculations about end time events and what's going to happen and how the Antichrist fits into that scheme, the way they are, all of that is popularly presented is it's something in the future. It's something that we need to be, now it may be in the imminent future, it may be about to happen, but it's something that hasn't happened yet. But way back here in the first century, when the Apostle John wrote this letter, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, he said at that point in time that the Antichrist was a reality. He says, "Even now many Antichrists have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour." The fact that there are that there is opposition to Christ, John says, is what identifies the fact that this is the that we live in the last age, the last hour. It's been the last hour, it's been the last age ever since the days of John. And the indication that it's this last dispensation of time is the fact that there are some who are opposed, vehemently opposed to Christ, is what John is saying. But now I want you to notice the second thing from 1 John 2 and verse 18. And that is not only that the Antichrist was a present reality in John's day, But there are many antichrists, he says. You see, now the only man who writes in the Bible about this subject tells us that the antichrist is, contrary to popular view, is not one specific individual who arises to exert great political power and persecution. The only man who writes in the Bible about the antichrist says there are many of them. There are many antichrists. His point to his brethren was trying to prepare them for opposition to their faith. His point was, you're going to encounter a number of people who are opposed to Christ. But now, a third thing I'd like for you to notice with me is that the Antichrist is not identified by the development of great political power. It is not political power that he exerts. He's identified by, or the Antichrist is identified by denial of Christ. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 22. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Look at chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming. And now the point is, this is an issue about the identification of Jesus and who Jesus is. There would be people who would be teachers of truth. He says those, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. He said there'll be people who will teach the truth. They will affirm that truth. But there are also going to be people who will deny that truth, that Jesus has come from God, that Jesus is the Christ. There are going to be people who will deny that. And he says these ones are antichrist. But there is absolutely no indication of any kind of, you know, rise in political power or single identification of such a person. It's really more of a spirit of the age that there will be among even and what he's warning these early Christians is, even amongst yourselves there will be some who will be affected by this, who will in fact become antichrists. The denial was of Christ's true nature. That was the way John identified the Antichrist. And so people who went about teaching that Jesus was not the Son of God, John says, these are the people that are lying to you. These are the people that are antichrist. There's a lot of them. He says they're among us now. They will continue to be a problem. It's just a mistake that's based almost entirely on speculations of people. To anticipate that there's going to be one key figure, historical figure, to arise and become so politically powerful that he must be identified as this enemy of Christ. The only man in the Bible who writes about the Antichrist doesn't say it. He doesn't say it. What he does say is, you do need to understand, there is an Antichrist spirit out there, and you need to be prepared for it. You shouldn't be taken by surprise. And neither should you, and neither should I. It's still out there. There are still people who will contend, oh, Jesus is nothing more than a man. Jesus was a deceiver. Or Jesus was a good man, a good teacher, but a man nonetheless. That's not what the Scriptures declare about him. The Scriptures declare about Jesus, and what Jesus declared about himself was that he is the Son of God. And what John tells us is, you just be prepared for the fact that there are some people that are going to dispute that. They're going to say that's not true. And he says, that's the Antichrist. So don't be taken unawares by it. One of the great challenges, it seems to me, that people face today is avoidance of speculations and guesses and reliance solely upon Scripture. Just reliance upon what does the Bible say? And it seems to me that in this issue, there a lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstanding could have been avoided had people been willing to just say, okay, John's the only man who writes about the Antichrist. Let's find out what John says. And let's go with that. Well, that would solve a lot of confusion and misunderstanding about a lot of different subjects in the Bible. If we just say, okay, let's just find out what the Bible says. And let's just go with it. It may be that there's some in our midst today who are looking for answers about what does God want out of me. Well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can rely upon the guesses that a lot of people have made, the speculations that a lot of people are willing to promote, or you can just open your Bible and you can say, let's go with this. What God has said through His Son Jesus is that He wants men and women to come in obedience to Him, to become His children, allow Him to forgive them and make them right with Him. And so, through Jesus, He taught people to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John chapter 8, Jesus told men and women, if you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. But based upon that faith, Jesus called upon people, and still does today, to repent of their sins. He said in Matthew, the 10th chapter, in Luke, the 13th chapter, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. And He wants men and women to confess Him as their Savior, as the Son of God. If you confess me before men, He said in Matthew chapter 10, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And then in Mark 16, He told those who went out preaching the gospel that they were to teach everyone, that those who believed and were baptized would be saved. That's what the Bible says. Let's go with that. That's dependable, reliable. Not based on speculations and guesses and the uncertainties that go along with those things. Are you ready to do that in your life? We pray that you are. Encourage you to do so. Allow us to help you to do this, do that today while we stand and sing.